From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, as the political and humanitarian situation in Venezuela continues tracking south, is U.S. military intervention a growing possibility? Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama, a member of the House Armed Services Committee, is here. And as the U.S. moves closer to finalizing a new trade deal with China, what is the optimum outcome? Gordon Chang, author of The Coming Collapse of China, joins me for that topic. And speaking of China, China has become a leading violator of religious freedom. One such case involves an American citizen, a Chinese American, who became a believer here in the United States, then went back to China to begin a Christian ministry, only to be arrested and now imprisoned for over 10 years. The family of Pastor David Lin speaks out for the first time here on Washington Watch. And my fellow commissioner on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, Christina Arriaga, is here with an announcement regarding Pastor Lin. That's later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me encourage you, check out that website. If you've not yet participated in the birthday abortion campaign, you can do so. All the information right there on TonyPerkins.com. Also, we have a link to the Minority Whip Steve Scalise website, where they are tracking the signatures on the discharge petition. 218 signatures needed to bring the Abortion Survivor Protection Act to the House floor. Now, that requires, as I said, 218 signatures. We're right around 200. This is where you come in. We have to encourage the members of Congress, regardless of what their party affiliation is, to sign this discharge petition so that this bill can come to the floor and be voted on. So you can help. Contact your member of Congress, encourage them to sign on to this discharge petition, and to help this along. Our plan is to deliver 90,000 of these baby hats, these thermal little baby hats, you know, the multicolored hats that the babies get when they're born. We're going to deliver 90,000 of those to Nancy Pelosi to make sure she gets the message. To find out how you can be a part of that, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, as the humanitarian crisis grows in Venezuela, a military intervention to oust Venezuelan strongman Nicolas Maduro remains a very serious option for the United States, according to President Trump's national security team. Now, here to elaborate on this possibility is Congressman Mo Brooks. He's going to be joining us here in just a moment. I think he's on the House floor. He represents the 5th District of Alabama. He serves on the House Armed Services Committee and on the Science, Space, and Technology Committee. He's going to be joining us here in just a moment to talk about this possibility. Now, some would say, well, what's the United States doing getting involved in, you know, Venezuela's activity? You know, this is their own deal. We don't need to be weighing in on that. Well, you know, Vice President Mike Pence spoke to this on Friday. He said that the narco-trafficking, terrorist, criminal syndicates that emanate from a collapsing society in Venezuela endanger nations throughout our hemisphere. It is a problem. We can't ignore it. This is in our backyard. Of course, there's two sides of this. There's the humanitarian side, where we see people unable to even get water, most basic needs, because there's a total meltdown of the infrastructure in Venezuela. And so people there are desperate, and of course that leads to greater crime, violence, but also opens the door to greater tyranny. Now, we also know that Russia is about the only thing that is holding Maduro up at present, and so they're getting a foothold here in the hemisphere, and that's problematic. And so this is not something that we can ignore. We have to pay attention to what is happening in Venezuela. And so joining us now to talk about what might be a possibility, the United States getting engaged in Venezuela, is Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
My pleasure. I apologize for being a little bit tardy. Something intervened here on Capitol Hill.
Not a problem. As long as it wasn't military intervention, we're good. Let me ask you this. When you look at, before we get into the probability of possibly the U.S. military intervening in Venezuela, what's the latest on the conditions there from a humanitarian standpoint?
Further, what you would expect from a country that has experimented with the failed economic philosophy of socialism. It's devastating. People are leaving when they can. They're starving. Over one recent 12-month period of time, you had an average weight loss of 24 pounds per adult because they could not get the food, the calories needed to sustain their body weight. The consequences of socialism are horrific. I don't know of a better way to describe it. I can give plenty of examples. Another one, International Monetary Fund inflation rate for 2018, well into the tens of thousands of a percent. Think about that. We worry about 3, 4, 5%. Their currency is collapsing. Their economy is collapsing. You've got any number of people who have been killed by a rather murderous regime that is doing everything possible to retain power.
Yeah, I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I had dinner with a pastor from Venezuela who was here in the States and said that because of the inflationary rate, their monthly salary has become the equivalent of about $5, five American dollars for the entire month. And to buy one loaf of bread is equivalent to about one American dollar when you adjust everything for inflation. So, I mean, you have $5 to live on and it costs you a dollar for a loaf of bread. So it is a very serious situation. It's a humanitarian situation. And we have tried, the United States has tried to bring relief supplies. Maduro has been blocking those supplies. So the options are becoming few and far between.
You're seeing a total collapse of a country. And when an economy collapses, that means that there's difficulty delivering food to grocery stores. It means there's difficulty purchasing food because you don't have the money with which to do it. Same scenario with health care, with every other aspect of life that we take for granted in the United States, which is one of the reasons why in America, free enterprise must prevail against Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's socialism and that of the Socialist Democrat Party, which is basically what the Democrat Party is now. I'm hesitant to call them Democrats. They're socialists. Now, what should America do? We should continue to ratchet up the pressure to try to cause the Maduro regime to topple. But at the same time, we have to be mindful that the replacement might just end up being as bad as Maduro. Okay? The current replacement that is favored has socialist tendencies himself. And it's not the individual people who are making things so bad in Venezuela, although there certainly are some people who are dictatorial and are making things bad. It's the economic philosophy of socialism that has caused that country's economy to collapse with the resulting death and destruction that has ensued. Now, should we intervene more aggressively militarily, since that's the primary reason for this discussion? I don't think that the United States of America should intervene unilaterally, but if you were to get the Organization of American States, South America, Central America, North America, if those nations were to coalesce together on a rescue mission that involved military force, then I'd be willing for the United States of America to be a part of that effort, but we should not be the sole police officer on that corner of the world.
So, Congressman Brooks, a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being that there will not be military intervention, 10 that it'll definitely happen. What do you think the probability is that there is some type of military intervention, as you've described, a collection of not just a collection of countries, not just the United States?
There are really too many different scenarios going into the future out there for me to be able to hazard a guess as to what President Trump may decide to do. But I'm hopeful the other nations, particularly those in South America, will decide that we need to rescue the people of Venezuela. And the best rescue is for us to do so militarily. It is very difficult for, and I'm talking about collectively now, multinational effort. It's very difficult for the people of Venezuela to be able to effectuate a revolution themselves, quite frankly, they don't have the Second Amendment right to bear arms like we do, and as such, they are not in a position to take on the police force or the military, which may become essential to restoring democratic or republic ideals, to restoring their economy. And just as a little background, keep in mind that when it comes to natural resources like oil, Venezuela is one of the wealthiest resource countries on earth.
Actually,
so they should
more,
be very prosperous.
Right. But they have more oil than Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, socialism has drug them down and drug them down bad.
That's a good point, and people should be taking note for those that are being enamored with the new socialist Democrats' message. They should look to our south of Venezuela to see what the outcome is. But I want to address another part of this, Congressman Brooks. When you and I talked about this before you came on, but there's also we have a national security interest here as well. As the Vice President pointed out, that narco trafficking, terrorists, criminal syndicates that emanate from the collapsing society in Venezuela endanger nations throughout our hemisphere, including the United States.
Well, there's truth to that, but does that mean we invade everybody between our southern border
no,
and Venezuela?
But we need,
because every one of these countries has those same indicia that you just itemized.
But we can't ignore what's happening there because it is only fueling that. I mean, we've got the same issues. We've got issues in Guatemala. We've got them in Honduras. But our foreign policy needs to take these things in consideration. We cannot turn a blind eye to the situation.
I concur. We have to evaluate that as one of many factors, but it cannot be a primary factor, because if it is, then that would justify the invasion of many countries in Central America, and I don't believe we should go there solo.
Now, what about the role of Russia? We see that it appears that, in fact, the Washington Examiner had a piece today suggesting that the only thing holding up Maduro right now is Russia.
I don't know if that's a fair analysis of what is transpiring in Venezuela. Certainly, Russian support, the arrival of military personnel from Russia, that has to be an intimidation factor for those in Venezuela who wish to topple the Maduro regime. But the numbers, at least as of now, are quite small. I've not seen any use of the Russian military forces against the civilian population. Perhaps there's been some, but if so, I'm unaware of it. And I'm hesitant, although that's a danger, that Russians are there. I'm hesitant to use that as a justification. I really think the Organization of American States and collectively Central America and South America need to decide what to do. And if they want us to help, we should participate in that help. But we can't be the solo cowboy.
I would agree with you. But I think we need to look at the fact that the Russians are there suggests to me that they understand the strategic nature of what of the outcome here in Venezuela. Congressman, we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining us, and obviously we're going to keep our eye very closely on Venezuela and the outcome here. Thanks so much.
Well, my pleasure, and again, I apologize for being a little bit tardy.
Not a problem. Congressman Mo Brooks of Alabama. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, we're going to go across the ocean and talk about China when we come back. Don't go away. More to come.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juneau, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
Happy birthday to In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right, yesterday morning, President Trump sent out this tweet. President Xi and I will always be friends, no matter what happens with our dispute on trade. China will take down its trade barriers because it is the right thing to do. Taxes will become reciprocal. And a deal will be made on intellectual property. Great future for both countries, end quote. Here to help us understand the dynamic between America and China as it applies to the trade negotiation is Gordon Chang, the author of The Coming Collapse of China. He has given briefings at the National Intelligence Council, the CIA, the State Department, the Pentagon. He has appeared before the House Committee on Foreign Affairs and the U.S.-China Economic and Security Review Commission. Gordon, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you so much, Tony.
Well, let me first just ask you this. What was your first take on the president's tweet?
Well, I think that negotiations are continuing, but it also seems that there are troubles. If we go back to Thursday, up until noon or so, everyone was reporting that President Trump later that day would actually be announcing a summit with Xi Jinping so they could sign a trade deal. Well, during that Thursday afternoon session with China's chief trade negotiator, the vice premier, President Trump didn't announce the summit. And that's a real indication that there are problems now, especially over the enforcement mechanisms that would apply in a trade agreement. So I think that despite the tweet, we have to be concerned that there will not be a trade deal.
What is the optimum outcome if there is a deal?
Well, the optimum outcome would be strict enforcement provisions in a trade agreement. But right now, you're hearing inside China this humiliation narrative that enforcement mechanisms would be an affront to the dignity of China. And so I think that probably the best outcome for the United States would be no trade deal and just increase the tariffs until the Chinese do the right thing, which is stop stealing our intellectual property and, of course, stop trade violations, which have continued for decades. So there's going to be a lot of contentious discussion right now, especially as the Chinese are making this an emotional issue.
Now, this is a different administration. I mean, a different president. He takes negotiations as his top skill and priority on a number of issues, but trade in particular. The Chinese regime is becoming very abusive when it comes to human rights. We also see religious freedom is something that they are really violating, clamping down on. What role are those issues playing in the negotiations, or what role should they be playing?
Well, I don't think that they're being discussed, but clearly in the relationship between Washington and Beijing, they should be at the center. Because what's happening right now, especially in the northwestern and the southwestern parts of China, you're seeing these concentration camps, which resemble what we saw in Germany in the 1930s and the 1940s. And this is important because although they're at the present time, they're only imprisoning Muslims and Tibetans, we're also seeing a crackdown on Christians throughout China. And that's accompanying these concentration camps. So there is a concerted, relentless, hostile campaign against people of all faiths. And so we've all very much got an interest in making sure that we protect the freedoms of Chinese because they're coming for us next.
I mean, this has long been a problem, but it seems to be intensifying. The Uyghur Muslims, those being put in these re-education camps, I mean, we're talking now upwards of maybe 2 million people, some estimate, are in these re-education camps, and what they go through is quite horrific. You talk about the Christian population. Even some of the state-recognized churches are now being moved on by the Communist Party.
Well, certainly, and especially the Catholics. And the reason the Catholics have been targeted is because the Vatican came to this tentative agreement with Beijing, which many Catholics criticized for not protecting Catholicism in China. And Beijing saw that as a sign of weakness and have gone after them. I think you're going to see Protestants in China benefit from this, largely because those of Christian faith are moving, I think, away from Catholicism to the Protestant faith, largely because Protestants have stood resilient and robustly against interference. And so you have all these house churches across China right now, and the Communist Party has no answer for that.
Yeah, you've actually seen as the Chinese government has cracked down, you've actually seen a more emboldened stance by many of the house church leaders and other Protestant leaders. But this is something that I think the West has to take note of, because if it's not a part of our trade deal, we're only bolstering one of the world's greatest abusers of this fundamental freedom.
Oh, absolutely, Tony. And it's not only that. China is acting provocatively and belligerently across the board. And, you know, one can spend hours just discussing what China's been doing recently. And so we've got to understand that the Chinese communist regime is using the profits from trade for all sorts of purposes that undermine freedom and democracy in the United States. And so that's one of the reasons why I think it's important right now not to have a trade deal with China, because that could very well rescue Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, at a time when he really needs a lifeline.
So, unlike past presidents, has China met their match when it comes to President Trump and his administration?
Well, so far they have. I think right now people in Beijing don't quite know how to react to President Trump. Because President Trump, unlike his predecessors, has taken a much more difficult stance with regard to China. And so this is really a good thing for the U.S. This was long overdue. And President Trump talked about this during the campaign, and he's been delivering on this. And so this is a very good development.
And Gordon, other nations will take note of the outcome of this.
Oh, absolutely. Right now you have the Chinese premier, Li Keqiang, in Europe, who's not getting a very good reception from the EU commissioner, largely because I think they're following the lead of the United States in taking a much tougher role against China.
Gordon Chang, as always, great to have you on the program. Be tracking your thoughts as this develops further. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tony.
Gordon Chang, author of The Coming Collapse of China. You can find out more by going to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, coming up next, we're going to zoom in at a much closer level when we talk about China and the abuse of religious freedom. For the first time, the family of Pastor David Lin, who has been imprisoned for over 10 years in China, an American citizen, they join me here on Washington Watch to tell his story. That's next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Grandpa,
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influencers weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand-up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. As we were just discussing, China has become one of the biggest violators of religious freedom. Uyghur Muslims are being placed in re-education camps, Christian churches destroyed, pastors imprisoned as religious intolerance intensified. Well, in 2006, Pastor David Lin, a U.S. citizen, went back to China to begin a Christian ministry. He was placed under house arrest, and in 2009, he was in jail, falsely accused of contract fraud. He was given a show trial, tried, convicted, and sentenced to life in prison. Through it all, Pastor Lin has fiercely defended his innocence, but he has been ministering in prison for over 10 years. Now, prison officials have repeatedly tried to force Pastor Lin to sign a false confession, but he has steadfastly refused. Now, up until this point, Pastor Lin has not wanted attention because this was his ministry, even inside the prison. But things in China are getting worse. And for the first time, his family speaks out on his behalf as they advocate for the United States to work for their father's release. Joining me now is Pastor Lin's daughter, Alice, who joins me to discuss the case of Pastor Lin. Alice, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for coming on and sharing the story of your father. And I just want to kind of lay the groundwork and talk about how your father got to China in this prison. He came to the United States, was not a believer. Your mother became a believer. He then became a follower of Jesus Christ, feeling compelled to minister to the people in China, to unbelievers. He went back to China to begin a Christian ministry, but was then first placed under house arrest, ultimately tried, convicted, and placed in prison. Are those the facts?
Yeah, Tony. My father, you know, Pastor David Lin, he's a U.S. citizen. He's been in prison for his faith. We don't know the exact details around his case, but in my father's own words, this is what he told us. I was preaching the gospel. Maximum security people started to investigate me. They forged documents. I didn't do anything wrong. And what we do know is that he was in China because he had this huge burden for the unchurched in China. He had a vision to build a church and a Christian training center. And in 2006, he had applied for a license for his ministry from the Chinese government. And it was a few months after that he was placed under house arrest and eventually falsely charged and convicted.
Now, he is the limited contact that you've had with your father over the last decade is that he actually was embracing this call to prison, to minister, because he said he had the ability to minister to people of over 30 nations within the prisons.
That's right, Tony. My father has this incredible faith. I mean, he has been the one who has been encouraging us and reminding us to trust in God's plan. And he's the one that's in prison. His last message to us as a free man that we got through the U.S. Embassy, he told us, don't worry. God knows what he's doing. It is God's wish that I'm here. There are many people inside who need to hear God's word. Please don't worry, but only pray for me. I will be back in the U.S. soon.
But Alice, something's,
that was 10 years ago.
Something's happened.
Yeah. I mean, those words he said to us 10 years ago. And while my father has seen the prison as his God-ordained mission field in these last 10 years, something has changed. In December, we had this huge scare. He reached out to me urgently, asking me to have his Bible translations removed. And we're so grateful that the embassy was able to oblige and go and remove his Bible translation. And so that embassy sent home his Bible translations to us. In that box with his Bible translations, we not only got the Bible translation, but we also found his Bible and all the cards and pictures and letters that we've ever sent him over the years. That Bible has sustained him for the last 10 years. It's like a man in the desert sending home his only bottle of water. When my mom opened that box, she was hysterical. She knew that there was something wrong. We don't know what's happening exactly, but we know that something serious is happening in that dark place.
So, Alice, have you had any further communication with your father since then?
Yeah. So in the last couple of months, he has been reaching out to us at an increased frequency, which is very unusual. And he's had this anxiousness and urgency in his voice. It's the first time he's ever asked us to reach out for help. He actually knew the ambassador, Terry Branstad, in the 90s and asked us to reach out to him and ask him to visit him in prison.
So
we just know that there's something going on.
So you have now, for the first time, you're speaking out. You have a website, and we're going to talk about that and what can be done for your father, an American citizen who's been held for over a decade in a Chinese prison. Alice, can you stick around for a few more moments?
Yes, of course.
All right. Pastor Lynn's daughter, Alice, joins us from California. She'll stay on the line. And then I'm also going to be joined by a fellow commissioner with the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, Christina Arriaga, who joined me with an announcement as well about Pastor Lynn. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Picture it. Majestic beauty all around you. Wildlife, deep blue waters, glacial mountains, lush forests. Can you imagine the majesty of creation at every turn? Discover Alaska with FRC. You'll enjoy every moment of this unforgettable experience. Juno, accessible only by sea and air. Ketchikan and its impressive collection of Native American totem poles. Glacier Bay, a breathtaking wonder. All this, plus a behind-the-scenes look at what Family Research Council is doing in our nation's capital. You'll hear directly from FRC President Tony Perkins, General Jerry Boykin, and Michelle Bachmann. This is no ordinary vacation. You'll be vacationing with the FRC family and a lot of new friends. Be rejuvenated as we deepen our relationships with God and each other. Don't just get away. Get away with purpose on Family Research Council's Alaska Cruise, July 7th through 14th. Call 844-872-5155 to register today or visit us online at frc.org/Alaska.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. We are talking to Alice Lynn Pastor, Pastor David Lynn's daughter. Pastor Lynn, an American citizen, went back to China in 2006 to begin a ministry there in China, was arrested, falsely accused, convicted, and was sentenced initially to life in prison, has been in prison now for over a decade. Alice, thank you for staying with us. I'm going to go back just so our listeners are very clear on this case, because, you know, you've not brought this to the public's attention because your father didn't want you to. He felt that this was kind of his call to minister there, but things have gone have gotten bad. We're seeing it outside the prison system. I can only imagine what is happening in the prisons in China. Let's talk a little bit about, for this decade, I mean, I just want people to put this in context. What is your father, who's now 64 years old, what has he missed during these over 13 years that he's been back in China?
My father has missed a lot. You know, 10 years is a long time. My father missed my brother's graduation. He missed my wedding. I didn't have a ceremony, actually, because my father wasn't here to walk me down the aisle. I'm still waiting for him to come home. He missed the birth of his grandson, his only grandson. He celebrated his 60th birthday alone. My mother has been operating as if she's a widow for the last 12 years. My father's missed a lot, and things are changing now, so it's time to bring him back home.
And so there's a website that you have created, freepastorlin.com. That's freepastorlin, LIN.com. What are you calling on the evangelical community or the Christian community and Americans in general who understand the importance of religious freedom, an American citizen who was a businessman, by the way, before he came to know Christ and then felt compelled to go share the gospel but imprisoned unjustly by a foreign government? What are you calling on your fellow Americans to do?
Tony, thanks for asking. The most important thing we can do is pray. We have seen God's hand here. He has preserve my father all these years, pray for his safety, pray that the Lord continues to keep him under his mighty wing, pray that he can come home soon. We're encouraging everyone to visit that website and sign up for updates and commit to praying for my father.
And folks, I want to encourage you to do that. I can tell you how powerful this is, and I'm going to talk more about this with Christina when she joins us. But Alice, I know that just what we saw with Pastor Andrew Brunson when he knew that Americans were praying for him, and I was able to actually take him a list of, 16,000 people who were praying for him, how encouraging that was to him. And so I'm going to encourage our listeners to go to the website FreePastorLynn, that's LIN.com, and commit to pray for Pastor David Lynn, that the Lord will bring him home, that our government will advocate for him, that the Chinese will do what is right, and let him come home to his family here in the United States. Alice, we're going to be tracking this very, very closely. We're going to encourage people not only to pray, but also to encourage our government, even now as we're negotiating a trade deal with China, that we demand that China recognize basic human rights, chief among them being religious freedom. Alice, thank you for your courage and for your boldness in speaking out on behalf of your father.
Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful for you and for your listeners.
All right. Thanks so much, Alice. We'll be talking to you real soon. That's Alice Lynn. Again, to find out more, go to the website freepastorlynn.com and sign up. Now, join me now in studio, one of my fellow commissioners on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, who's actually taken a very strong interest in this particular case and has worked with Pastor Lynn's family, is my good friend Christina Arriaga, who I just saw this in your bio, that you received the museum's Freedom of Speech Award in 2017. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Well, Christina, let's talk about this case with Pastor David Lynn. I mean, this is one nobody really knew anything about because their family didn't want to say anything out of concern for his safety and well-being, but apparently it's gotten so bad that he's now asking his family to help.
Yes, and actually they wanted to reach out to the Christian community first. So this is the first time they're speaking out in public, and they wanted to do it with you, with your show, with Tony Perkins. They've also asked me to adopt him or actually offered to adopt him as a religious prisoner of conscience alongside when I asked you, and you very kindly accepted so that we can continue to highlight his plight.
So tomorrow there will be an announcement from the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom that as the vice chair, you will be announcing him as a prisoner of conscience. Now, explain to our listeners what that means, that term.
Commissioners and members of Congress all have the ability to adopt religious prisoners of conscience, individuals who can no longer live according to their deeply held religious convictions, and then bring up their case, lift their stories, be a voice for those who are voiceless, like Pastor Lynn in China. And the importance of this is that people around the world do want to look good before the international community, and we can continue to remind the human rights community that religious freedom is a vital human right and that these people, such as Pastor Lynn, should be free unconditionally immediately.
And I mentioned a few moments ago, Pastor Andrew Brunson, who was in prison in Turkey, he was your prisoner of conscience as well. So you've got a pretty good track record here of adopting those and advocating for those. But it's a very important issue because it puts a face, a family, it makes this real as opposed to just the issue of religious freedom that people can easily dismiss as they're going about their business. But the similarities here were striking with Pastor Brunson, whose daughter was married while he was in prison. Now, of course, he wasn't there as long as Pastor Lynn, over a decade in prison, Andrew just over 2 years. But, people don't realize how this impacts the family.
Oh, this is tremendous for the family and also for the prisoner. Andrew Brunson has spoken at Wheaton College about the fact that he felt that God had abandoned him to a certain extent and that he was challenged in his faith. And now Pastor Lynn in China is being challenged right in his faith as well.
And all the more reason we need to be praying for him and for others. I mean, this is just one of many. I mean, we've seen Pastor Xi, I'm sorry, President Xi in China with this increasingly hostile view toward religious freedom. I mean, in December of 2018, beginning to crack down even on the recognized churches. So, I mean, I can imagine, as I mentioned a few moments ago to Alice, that if this is happening on the outside of prisons, I can only imagine what is happening inside.
Well, the situation of Christians and all believers in China is absolutely dreadful. Since 2006, religion has become an existential threat to the Chinese government, and the government has gone around taking down crosses, taking down pictures of Jesus, taking down the Ten Commandments, and replacing them with principles of socialism. The current leadership in China has announced that it's essentially going to end all faith and all believers. By the year 2030, China is supposed to have the largest population of Christians in the world. Currently, there are at least 150 million Chinese in Christians in China that are suffering terrible persecution. Just a few months ago, there was a church that served 50,000 faithful, and it was demolished. It wasn't only that the doors were closed, it was demolished by the Chinese government.
And it's not just the Christian church they're targeting. I mean, they're going after every religious group, including Muslims, where we were talking earlier about the re-education camps for the Uyghur Muslims. That they see any form of faith as a threat to their regime.
The Chinese government has a monopoly also on technology, and they're using big data analytics to track where people go, what they buy, whether they get online and buy a Bible or a book of faith, which are now banned online. And they put this data with their numbers, and the police can show up in your house and say you're accused of dangerous thinking, and you go to jail for 15 years based solely on the fact that this person may have gone to church on Sunday.
And they develop from this a social score, which determines a lot of your movement, where you can work, so much. I mean, China is very frightening what is taking place there. And a few moments ago, and a few segments ago, we were talking with Gordon Chang about the trade negotiations. I think it's essential that when we're discussing, you know, most favored nation status, trade deals with China, we have to bring in the human rights aspect, in particular religious freedom.
Tony, there has never been a moment like this. The Trump administration has pushed China really, really hard in economic progress, and actually it has challenged all of the markets around the world. But just last week, Sarah Sanders, the spokesperson for the White House, said that significant work remains. Now is the time to speak to our local elected officials and make sure that religious freedom is brought to the table as an important aspect of this negotiation.
Let's go. Christina Arriaga, my guest, commissioner on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom and a human rights advocate, a religious freedom advocate. We're talking about praying for Pastor Lin. Obviously, that's essential. And pastors, I haven't mentioned this in a while, but I hope that you are regularly leading your congregations to pray for the persecuted. I mean, Paul encouraged us to do that. In fact, you know, my favorite book that I often quote in Ephesians 6, Paul's in prison, and he is, and as he wraps it up, he encourages people to pray for him, that he would have the boldness to speak as he ought, even though he's in prison for speaking. So even he needs to be encouraged. I think he was probably going through one of those dark times as well. So we need to be praying for the persecuted. They would not lose hope. But then we also need to be working to bring about tangible help. And we have an administration that, you know, we've got a president who cares about this. We've got a vice president who cares about it. We've got a secretary of state who cares about this. We have an ambassador for religious freedom who cares passionately about this. I mean, we've got some things that are in place that have never been there before, Christina. So what else can we call upon our listeners to do?
Well, get on the website, freepastorlean.com. You can see the story and write your local elected official, write your member of Congress, write your senator, and demand that religious freedom be part of the trade negotiations with China. This is crucial. Everyone, every single letter, every single email can make an enormous difference in the case of Pastor Lin and the many other American citizens, by the way, that are in prison in China. You mentioned the Uyghurs. There are over a million of them in concentration camps in China, and they are American citizens that are Uyghur as well. And these people are going to lose their faith unless they know that people in the United States are supporting them and are bringing this to the table.
And as you mentioned before, as we, you know, we highlight one or two individuals as a prisoner of conscience, in this case, you're highlighting Pastor David Lin, others benefit from this because we bring greater awareness and understanding of, number one, that religious freedom is not just an American right or privilege, it is a fundamental human right. And even the United Nations acknowledging that back in 1948 with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And as Americans, and in particular, I would say this to my listeners, as Christians, we need to be advocating for the freedom of men, women, and children to make a choice to believe or not to believe and have the freedom to do so.
We have such easy lives in the United States. I mean, the worst that can happen if we tell someone, God bless you or Merry Christmas, is we might get a slap in the back or maybe have an uncomfortable situation at work. But there are people, there are Christians out there that have given their lives for us to enjoy these freedoms in the United States. Look at Pastor Lin. He chose not to have his case publicized so he could preach to people from 30 different countries in a prison in China. And now he's asking for our help, and we need to be his voice because he does not have one.
Yeah, so go to the website. You go to TonyPerkins.com. You can follow the links over if you're driving and you don't have something to write with. You can always find it there. What you can also, if you can write down FreePastorLin.com. That's FreePastorLin, L-I-N.com. And sign up there. Let him know that you'll be praying for him. And I know with the commission's not been able to get into China. At some point in time, him being your prisoner of conscience and mine as well, after tomorrow, that we can get a message to him that folks are praying for him here in the United States as we maybe can get into China to visit him.
Well, absolutely. He has gained favor with some of the guards, like Joseph, and he has been able to make calls to his daughter, and I think it will mean so much to him to hear his daughter say that there are people praying for him in the United States. Of course, all those calls are monitored. We don't know exactly what will happen, but I'll certainly keep you updated.
Christina Arriaga, thank you so much for coming by the studio today, and I appreciate all that you do on behalf of religious freedom.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, please go to that website, freepastorlin.com. Let the family know that you will stand with them and you will pray for Pastor David Lin. And also, you know, communicate with your members of Congress regarding this issue, that it's an important issue. And pray for our leaders that they would stand boldly on behalf of the persecuted all around the world. Out of time for today. But I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.